السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه أبدا سرمدا، ما دامت السماوات والأرض ومن بعد أن تزولا، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وجزيل نعمائه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد الصادق الأمين، وعلى آله من أزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الغر المحجلين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم. As we began to emphasize in the previous session the essential element of mujahada in the process of tazkiyah as an essential process in the fulfillment of ubudiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this journey of freedom, this journey of happiness, we emphasized mujahada. What I want to share with you today, in however time it may take us inshallah ta'ala, hopefully not too long, for I intend that we do a second part of the program today to be in khalwa and in ibadah also for this day bi-idhnillah, is the element of sabr, the element of sabr and bala. Sabr is at the essence of mujahada itself, because mujahada is exerting ourselves في مخالفة النفس, in going against the nafs. And going against the nafs implies fierce resistance. Going against anything implies resistance. Going against the nafs is fierce resistance, especially in the beginning process. That resistance is much more intense oftentimes, and that we have learned that some of the salihun rahmahullah ta'ala had said that it is easier to sculpt mountains with our fingernails than to counter the hawa when it has anchored itself in the nafs of an individual. And we cannot envisage mujahada without the concept of sabr. And I would like us to always keep this rukn of ubudiyah and this rukn of tazkiyah, which is sabr as an expression of mujahada, in a way that should be as clear to us as possible, and not simply in a theoretical sense, and as we have perhaps sometimes been entertaining it in our thoughts or reading it in our books. But again, the process of tazkiyah means we have to walk that path. We have to walk that path. And we have to be in this walking of this path, not knowing about sabr only, but tasting sabr, really. Tasting sabr. Tasting sabr. And the bitterness of sabr. Alhamdulillah. Because in the Arabic language, sabr, subhanallah, is a word that derives from the same root as the name of a tree, shajarat al-sabr. And that tree is a bitter tree. The beginning fruits of it are very bitter. And then towards the end, they are very sweet. And that is the tree of sabr. As-sabr, I think it is called. Bi-kasr al-ba. The kasra underneath the ba. And thus, the sabr, our first encounter with that sabr, our first dhawq, taste of sabr, is always mur, bitter, painful. But ultimately, the fruits of it are very, very sweet. Are very, very sweet. And therefore, those who, alhamdulillah, walk this maqam of sabr, those who walk in towards this station and in this station of sabr, would by that experience have realized that the fruits are indeed very sweet. So if they are befallen by calamities, they are sometimes they enjoy them. Why do you enjoy them? They would answer, because لِأَنَّ لَذَّةَ الثَّوَابِ أَنْسَتْنِي أَلَمَ الْمُصِيبَةِ لِأَنَّ لَذَّةَ الثَّوَابِ, because the delight of the reward have made me forgetful to of the pain of hardship. And therefore, some have defined sabr, rahimahullah ta'ala, as الصبر الوقوف مع الله سبحانه وتعالى بحسن الأدب. الوقوف مع الله سبحانه وتعالى بحسن الأدب is to be with Allah سبحانه وتعالى, to be with Allah سبحانه وتعالى, that is in moments of trials and tribulations and challenges and discomfort and pain, to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stand with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with adab, with beautiful adab. And this implies what? That which has befallen me of calamities and of difficulties and of ordeals is what? From whom? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the principle of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And my response, therefore, it is that I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeing him with my qalb subhanahu wa ta'ala, directing the events in the universe, and I'm only one part of that, and that's what he sent to me, that's the message he sent to me, or the messenger he sent to me, or the, if you will, or the guest he sent to me. So I should receive that with adab, with husn adab, not only adab, with beautiful adab. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala is related to have said that انظر إلى البلاء من الله سبحانه وتعالى بمنزلة ضيف نزل بك. He also that إذا نزلت بك الهموم, إذا نزلت بك الهموم فانظر إليها بمنزلة ضيف نزل بك, بمنزلة ضيف من الله سبحانه وتعالى نزل بك, فأحسن صحبته حتى يرتحل وهو راض عنك. فأحسن صحبته حتى يرتحل عنك, حتى يرتحل وهو راض عنك. He says رحمه الله تعالى, when you are befallen by غموم, by deep concerns and feelings sometimes of, you know, I don't want to say distress and anxiety and all of those, but غموم, that which clouds you, that which makes you feel inside very uncomfortable inside of you, and not to say distress and anxiety and depression for a reason that I have mentioned before, as you know, that those actually should not be characteristics of a mu'min. However, if they befell us, then the response would be like this, that then you look at them as a guest sent to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the guest, the dayf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, O mu'min. Subhanallah. And then he says, of course, then فَأَحْسِن صُحْبَتَهُ, then be very generous and kind and courteous with this guest. And that's what you should do with a guest as a Muslim, as a mu'min in particular. Until that guest departs while in rida with you. Until, if you treated the guest that way, and courteously and gently and generously, mashallah, that guest will be very pleased with you and leaves pleased with you. Until the bala, that ham, that gham, leaves, and it will leave, لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ. Certainly, for everything it has an appointed time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed, until when it leaves, and it will leave, certainly, it will leave pleased with you. Like a report to report to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent the bala, that abdi Allah received me, your guest, because I was your guest. When you honor the guest, when you love someone, when you respect someone, you love and you respect for that their messengers, they're certainly those whom they sent to you as guests. So ya Allah, this abd has treated me very well because of you, and I was your guest in his life, in his heart, in her experience. As-sabr, again, my dear brothers and sisters, is very, very essential to this process of tazkiya. It is the diya, it is the eye with which the qalb sees its way in the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sabru, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sabru nurun wa sadaqatu diya', or as-sabru diya'un wa sadaqatu nur. Sometimes get them confused, which one is diya', which one is nur. And I would say it will be as-sabru diya' or nur. Sabr is an illumination for the mu'min, for the Muslim, for the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means when we have sabr, and we show sabr in our lives, in facing the ordeals of life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clear the sight of our qulub. That as a fruit of sabr is the illumination of our qulub and the clearing of our qulub from that which clouds them and veils them and prevents them from seeing their path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way it really should be. And we have to know that. Many of us perhaps, most of us perhaps, have not, or all of us perhaps, have not connected between the two, and have yet to perhaps taste this truth and this reality. After showing sabr, and continuing to show sabr, one indeed, if one is taking this path to Allah consciously, one subhanAllah will begin definitely to acknowledge and to see that part of illumination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engenders and creates in his or her qalb. As-sabru tarku shakwa min alam al-balwa. Rahimahum Allah ta'ala, they said, الصبر ترك الشكوى من ألم البلوى. صبر is not to complain from the pain of بلوى, of calamity. صبر is not to complain from calamity's pain. Not to complain. Not to complain to any creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's kept inside. And because it is kept inside, the result of that, it illuminates the qalb. Because it is hard to do that. Because it is hard to do that. We tend as human beings in general, before we are initiated into this ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about ourselves and about the purpose of this life and the meaning of happiness, etc. And we tend certainly always to be complaining, always sharing with others. We say share, which is actually complain, but you know, we have a way to cover our own deficiencies by words. We share with others our pain, and it is oftentimes it is actually the reality of it is a shakwa, is a complaint about actually what has befallen us to others who are the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is like complaining to the creature about the creator. Wal'iyadhu billah. And sabr is tarku shakwa. If there is shakwa and inzi'aj and feeling of distress and feeling of anger and sakhat and displeasure towards that which has befallen us in the matters of our lives, then that is not sabr at all. Sabr is a battle within ourselves between the call of the nafs inside of us and the call of the malak inside of us. Between the call of evil inside of us and the call of good inside of us. Between the call of the divine subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of us and the invitation and the call of shaitan and the nafs inside of us. When the call divine inside of us wins over the call of the others inside of us, shaitan and the nafs inside of us and the shahawat and the hawa inside of us, then that is sabr. If the other way, if it goes the other way, if the call inside of us of the nafs and of the shahwa and the hawa and of shaitan takes over, then that is not sabr. And in the first case, we would have exalted ourselves by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rahmah to the level indeed of human beings. Because that which characterizes a human being is his conscious ability to bear, to show patience, to show sabr. To have a will, to have that will of facing these calamities by choice, not simply by instinct. So in a sense, I show sabr, therefore I am a human, my dear brothers and sisters. As-sabru anwa'. As-sabru anwa' types. And they can be summarized in this way, as it is, alhamdulillah, taught in our deen, and so rightly, mashallah. At least in hadith mawquf, that has been the word of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that there is a sabr ala ta'ah wa sabr an al ma'siyah wa sabr ala al bala'. Actually, if we look at our lives and what types of challenges we're faced with, what types of hills we are climbing in this life, they would not be outside of these three types. One, the challenge that we face in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The challenges that we face in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is an uphill road. Why is it an uphill road? Because we're going against the nafs. We're going against the nafs. So I know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam want from me to do something, which ultimately, as we know, And as we have established, and it is well established in our Sharia, that it is always for our own good in this dunya and in akhirah. And this is not a claim in the wind. This is a claim quantifiable and demonstrable, that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do, it is for our own happiness and well-being in this dunya and in akhirah. في عاجل الأمر وفي مآله وآجله ولا شك. Whether it is in the immediate future or in the immediate future. Now, besides that, the nafs that is not aware of that, the nafs that is not tamed, will resist obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will resist obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the shahwa and the hawa. Because of the shahwa and the hawa. Then we must show resistance to that by, as we have mentioned earlier, the very consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to us through the aql. And then we must battle against that. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires sabr and requires persistence in that. Again, remember, because we have a nafs and we have a qalb, because we have a freedom of choice. And that freedom of choice has been there because we have opposing forces in us. One wants to choose this thing and one wants to choose the opposite. And then we have to make a conscious decision of which one we respond to, which of the calls inside of us we respond to, and sabr is an essential element in that. Sabrun ala ta'ah, that I am not going to continue to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I am not continuously conscious of the necessity of sabr in that endeavor, in that path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabrun ala ta'at. Salah, performance of salah, waking up for fajr, the performance of salatul isha, getting up for tahajjud sometimes, fasting, giving in sadaqah, forgiving others, passing the faults of others, zikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving in zakah, all of those require sabr and consistency in that. Sabr ala ta'at. Thaniyan, as-sabru anil ma'asi. Second, as-sabru anil ma'asi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in His commands prohibited us to approach certain things. And again, the prohibitions are all meant, alhamdulillah, to increase our level of happiness and our level of freedom, remember. Yet, it necessitates sabr, because there is also resistance by the nafs that is yet to be tamed. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, do not approach something, we have that sometimes that urge to do just that, because of the many reasons, or some of the reasons we have mentioned these days, and in particular yesterday, then it requires that we show sabr, anil ma'asi. It is not an easy road oftentimes. The word is sabr, anil ma'asi. I must keep that in mind, and I must keep reviewing it, and I must keep empowering my nafs with this knowledge, myself with this knowledge, my aql with this knowledge, until inshaAllah ta'ala it becomes readily available always inside of me. And when I'm faced with a challenge of ma'asiyah, then spontaneously that which was stored within me in the repository of my qalb and of my aql will come immediately available and comes by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in succor to save me from falling into ma'asiyah against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الصبر عن المعصية. And thirdly, الصبر عن البلاء. الصبر على البلاء. And that is the calamities and the afflictions and the ordeals and the hardships that befall us in our way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are in obedience to His commands subhanahu wa ta'ala. While we are in that sabr, in obeying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of that is that we will be, in every human being, and we will be, as men and women of faith, as believers, as Muslims, as mu'mins, we will be faced with bala, afflictions and ordeals, and of all types, emotional, psychological, family type, in our own children, in our own parents, through our own parents, in our own families, in our properties, in our health, in our wealth. These are the first two things we think about, but these are one of the last things. All in our faced with the harm of other human beings to us, and other creatures to us. When I say other creatures to us, I include jinns and animals. The bala, in other words, generally, please remember, my dear sisters and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all remember, but review all of these things through that regular diet of ilm, so that they be readily available in our, again, repository or our memory. That this bala of all types, we must face with sabr. Of all types, remember that, my dear brothers and sisters. Of all types, and at any time, and being in sabr of Allah towards Allah towards those afflictions in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act of ubudiyyah. Is an act of ubudiyyah. Why? Because in life there are two things, one of two things, either good or bad. There is nothing in between. It's either good, meaning it's something we like, or bad, which means it's something we do not like. And in both instances, we are to be ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot be abd only when things are good for me. That's not abd. Many people, that's what they like to do, and that's what we feel like doing, and that's what the hal is amongst many of us human beings. But when it goes bad, I must be in sabr, I must be in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, because I cannot be only part-time abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't. It's impossible. I am abd by the very essence of my creation. I'm abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I must therefore show sabr towards that which afflicts me, my dear brothers and sisters. Al-bala is not intended for those who are taking the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's never intended to harm us. It's never intended to destroy us, to make us unhappy. Al-bala is intended to do the opposite. Al-bala is intended to do the opposite. In other words, actually, some rahimahumullah ta'ala had said, which way is better in this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one who reaches destination through bala, or the one who reaches destination through ghana' wa ni'mah wa sarra'? And they said, rahimahullah ta'ala, they said, the better path is the one through bala. The better path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one through bala. Because the bala, to those who are consciously underlined, taking the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always keeping them alert and conscious of their ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of their need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of their awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-bala'u khattafu al-qulub. Al-bala'u khattafu al-qulub wa qaydu al-nufus. Al-bala'u khattaf. Yeah, I don't want a word with there's another word. Yeah, it's like snatches the hearts. it's a snatcher of the qulub. And khattaf, la ilaha illallah. When someone is, anyways, the bala', what it does is it snatches the qulub. It takes them, but it takes them where? It says the qulub, it takes them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes them. Alhamdulillah. When someone steals someone, when someone, you know, those people, when they go and kidnap, al-bala'u is the kidnapper of the qulub. Al-bala' is the kidnapper, that's khattaf, kidnapper of the qulub, kidnapped the qalb of the mu'min to take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَيْدٌ لِلنُّفُوسِ, and is a jailer and a restrainer and a constrainer of the nufus. البلاء يقوي القلوب ويضعف النفوس. البلاء indeed gives strength and momentum to the qalb and weakens the nafs. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants more rahmah for a abd that is mu'min, and that abd does not have enough deeds to elevate that abd in degrees and to cleanse that abd, Allah sends to that abd bala in order to elevate that abd, in order to cleanse that abd, to purify the qalb of that abd. Al bala is such a welcome event and guest in the hearts of the salihun, in the hearts of awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we aspire to. One of them has said, rahimahumullah ta'ala, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُعَذِّبَ الْبَلَاءِ سَجَنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ. Allah, Allah. Allahu Akbar. That's up there. You know, bala in torment. When Allah wants to torment bala, He subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it inside the hearts of the awliya. Bala, which means to do harm, and the bala, the result of which is harm, and that's the nature of bala. Imagine, like we spoke of ghariza, the nature of each ghariza. Bala, the nature of bala is actually pain, to cause pain. But when it goes into the heart of wali, it's jobless. It's fired. When it goes into the qalb of wali, qalb of wali is in rida, enjoys, is in ladha with the bala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to torment bala, he sets it inside the heart of wali. And there it is jailed. Subhanallah. They also said, rahimahumullah ta'ala, al-bala'u milhu, milhu al-muridin. Bala'u milhu ahwali al-muridin. Al-bala'u milhu, the salt, milhu ahwali al-muridin. Fa'idha zala anhum al-bala' fasada haluhum. Subhanallah. Remember we did speak of the concept of hal and maqam and stations before that. And the hal of the murid, remember we spoke also of a murid in the general sense, the person who wants and desires and wills to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hal of the murid, that is the inner state of that murid, of the different ahwal, plural of hal, in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what one experiences of seeing, feels of uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of sabr and of shukr and of certain subhanallah, of certain emotions and of certain feelings and of certain elements of connectedness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the hal of the individual, the hal of khawf, the hal of before it goes to be to become a maqam. And that murid, in whatever hal he or she is, it's a beautiful thing to be in. And then he said, rahmahullah, they say, al-bala, ordeals and afflictions, is the salt needed for the hal of the murid. Imagine the hal of the murid is something, is a meal you eat, and the way it tastes. And the bala is the salt that you put in the food with the right quantity, so that it is tastes good. Or if you have, you're eating meat, and then you put meat, you put salt in the meat. So if you remove the salt, if you remove the bala, then fasada haluhum, then the hal will be spoiled. Like if you remove the salt from the meal, it won't taste good anymore. Or if you take a piece of meat and you keep it outside for a while without salt in it, it will soon spoil. So the bala for these people is like the salt for that piece of meat, which keeps it, which preserves it, and prevents it from rotting, from smelling, from going bad. The bala keeps them, subhanallah, rahmanallah ta'ala, keeps them alert in their consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeps them conscious of their faqa, of their need, of their haja, of their dire need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeps them connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and alert, subhanallah. Al-bala'u siraju al-arifin, wa tanbihu al-muridin, wa halaku al-ghafilin. Al-bala'u siraju al-arifin. Al-bala' is the illuminating lamp or lantern to the heart, that is again of the arifin, to those who truly know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is tanbih, it's a wake up call. It's a wake up call for the murid, for the one who wants to go and to walk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is halakul ghafilin, and it is ruination to the one who is ghafil, to the one who is heedless and unaware and not conscious of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of his or her way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that leads me to say this before inshallah we stop for the break, and alhamdulillah many of you or some of our brothers and sisters have to leave as well. The bala, my dear brothers and sisters, is of three types also. The bala is of three types, towards which we have to show sabr, is also of three types. And those three types tell us of what is our status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as that bala befell us. And I think I might have spoken to it about you, not only in private, but perhaps generally. But if I didn't, even if I did, this necessitates to be repeated again. Namely, that the bala is of three types. Either bala'un, the intent behind which by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to punish the individual, is عقوبة مقابل ما اقترف من جرم ومن معصية لله سبحانه وتعالى. Allah intends by that bala, that ordeal or that affliction or that calamity, as a punishment as to the individual for his or her crimes against Allah سبحانه وتعالى and against the creatures of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Number two, a bala' that is intended for takfir al-sayyi'at, with takfir an-dhunub. A bala' that is intended to atone for the sins that we have committed. Instead of to punish, this is to atone, to cleanse from the consequences of those dhunub in our lives. Number three, third type of bala is intended لِإِرْتِفَاعِ الدَّرَجَاتِ, to raise the individual in his or her stations of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya and in akhirah. In this dunya and in akhirah. The nearness of his or her qalb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that journey to him in this dunya, and that nearness most importantly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated in degrees in Jannah in the day of resurrection and after the day of resurrection. These are the balaya. How do we know which one could have befallen us? And that depends on our response, as the ulama al-arifuna billahi rahimahumullah ta'ala tell us and teach us and have experienced as well. And through also the teachings certainly of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we don't have time to go through some of those texts except to say this. If we respond to the bala with shakwa, with complaints to others, which we call sometimes sharing with others, and there are exceptions sometimes to the rule for a different specific purpose. But the general rule is that's what we, most of the time, most perhaps of us do. We complain. We share of that too much. Too much. The salihun, some of them, when they reach their level, rahmahumullah ta'ala, is to say, ah, when you are sick because of the pain, to them that's complaining in the presence of others. And Imam Ahmad rahmahullah ta'ala, it is related, as he was sick and during the sickness when he died rahmahullah ta'ala, he heard from one of the other colleagues of his and teachers and salihun, I think that it was Bishr al-Hafi, and he had great reverence for that teacher and his family, or he said was it Tawus al-Yamani, even much before, I'm sorry, the Tabi'i, that Al-Aneen, that lamentation like that is a shakwa at their level, is a complaint. And it is said that once he heard that, no more a sound was heard from him until he died. رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين. That level. But if we respond to affliction in obvious shakwa, complaint to others with words and in the edge and feeling of distress and agony and anger and loudness and violence in response to that, when it pertains to our personal rights only, for example, or things we have missed, even hudhuv, simply shares of dunya, or family members, in one way or the other we can be befallen by calamities pertaining to our family members, not only by death and by sickness, but by many other means that can befall us of harm. If we respond with inzi'aj, then that indicates that it is the first type of bala. That bala, in retrospect, now we know the qada of Allah. After his qada has unfolded, then this is how we know. This is the indication of it, that we respond in that way. That's a punishment. May Allah forgive us. And see how many times and how often and how most of the times our response to afflictions, minor and major, is one of inzi'aj and one of sakhat sometimes, even wal'ayaz billah, and one of shakwa. But if our response is one of sabr, if our response is one of sabr without shakwa, we may feel the pain inside. We have not reached the level of the salihun al-muqarrabun, but a mu'min should at least be in a state of sabr, and if not sabr, at least tasabbur, to struggle to show sabr. And if that is the case, if there is sabr in response to the bala, my dear sisters and brothers, then the indication is that that bala is a source from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of atonement, of takfir an zunubina, inshaAllah, of tatahir, of cleansing and of purifying. And we should welcome that. Welcoming it, of course, is the next level. Welcoming it and being pleased with it and even delighting in it is the level of al-arifuna billah, is the level of as-salihun al-muqarrabun. And if the response towards calamities and ordeals of all of those types that we have mentioned and more is one of rida, is one of rida and wifaq, not only of sabr, feeling the pain inside, however without complaint, but some of these ibad receive, subhanAllah, gradually, and walhamdulillah, we don't have to say it, that it is possible. It is real that they receive that now, like we receive ni'mah, like we receive delight and pleasure and that which we like. They receive it that way. That is an indication that it is raising the abd in levels of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. That means in this dunya, in his or her course towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the journey, faster and faster and faster through bala. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to share with you one more anecdote and then we break here inshallah and we continue after the break. This is simply also so that some of our brothers and sisters who have to leave would have almost a summary of all of this. There is a poem by a Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi, which has a very beautiful meaning. A lot of his poetry, not necessarily all of his poetry, is wonderful and beautiful and contains some of the most wonderful messages of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and of these concepts that we speak about. The translation goes something like this: I am amazed at the seeker of purity. I am amazed at the seeker of purity, who, when it is time to be polished, complains of rough handling. Complains of rough handling. And I'm going to stop here just for a little while. When you polish something, what do we use? Abrasive materials such as sand, paper, coarse, abrasive, rough handling. Stop that! Rough handling. But you said you wanted to be polished. You wanted to be polished. You wanted purity. And that's what we're doing. You can't remove dirt and abrasive material on you by soft breeze only. Allah can do that. And you complain now of rough handling. And then continues to say, the harsh treatment, that harsh treatment is not intended against you, my son, but it is directed towards the harmful qualities inside of you. SubhanAllah. And then he says, when one beats a rug, the blows are not against the rug, but against the dust in it. With this, inshallah, I stop for the break, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate your paths and ours towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment of our lives, even as we walk our physical journeys to back to our physical homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep your hearts illuminated insha'Allah ta'ala in your journey to Him. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.